Let's draw near to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we praise you that you love to give yourself to us. We praise you for your Holy Spirit, which reminds us that Jesus is alive, alive in our hearts by faith and grace. And so speak your word of light and life to us today, that we may be challenged and comforted and strengthened for the tasks that you have for us in this week ahead. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In this season of Pentecost, we continue to remember how the Holy Spirit of God breathed upon those first disciples and the church was born. And from that day to this, the Holy Spirit has continued to be at work in the world from generation to generation, breathing his life. And at Pentecost, we remembered how that breath of God brought new life. But in my sermon today, I also want to say that breath can also be a sigh. Breath can also be a sigh. And we'll explore that through our reading from Romans 8, 22 to 27. The dictionary definition of a sigh is this. A sigh is to emit a long, deep, audible breath, expressing sadness, relief, tiredness, or similar. You might sigh in sadness or despair when you watch the news headlines and hear stories of conflict and violence or tragedy. You might sigh in relief when you sink into your comfy chair after a long day on your feet. You might sigh with impatience as you stand in that queue. How much longer must I wait? Yes, a sigh speaks of yearning or longing. And the breath of God can be a deep sigh. A deep sigh from the heart. And in that reading from Romans 8, Paul describes three aspects of this heartfelt sigh that I want to bring to you today. Firstly, verse 22, which we will put on screen now, which speaks of a sighing creation. A sighing creation. We know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And here the comparison is made to childbirth. And you'll be pleased that I'm not going to presume to speak of childbirth. I was in the room when my two children were born, but Joe did all the work without any pain relief for both of them. So, yeah, ultimate respect. But after the sigh of pain came the sigh of relief and joy. And Paul takes this powerful imagery to describe the pain and the suffering in the world today. It's not without reason, it's not wasted, something is being brought to birth, to new life. And friends, this is good news. It's good news as we struggle in this world today. God is at work. The flip side to this is that the old order of things is passing away. That may sound pessimistic, but we know from experience that life is transient, life is fleeting. And the scriptures confirm it. Psalm 144, verse 4, says that we are but a breath, like the flower of the field that withers and fades. And elsewhere, we are like water spilled on the ground. We and the whole of creation are captive to decay and decline. And today we might sigh with our aches and our physical pains. We sigh at the needs around us. What Paul is describing here is a collective sigh of creation that we could almost hear. With one voice, all creation groans. And we see that when we pollute the creation, when we see oil spills and rainforests being cut down, we sigh at the suffering of our world, a sigh of sympathy and empathy, because we are one with creation. We are one, sisters and brothers. The world is our neighbor, our concern. And friends, I want to affirm that God is present in that sigh with us. The breath of God is the deep sigh of creation. So Paul speaks of a sighing creation. And the second aspect I want to highlight here of this heartfelt sigh is in verse 23, which speaks of sighing sons. And we'll put the verse on screen now. Verse 23, Paul writes, "We groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons." And yes, we can add as daughters of God. And here we're moving from the earthly to the spiritual. Paul is describing our spiritual longing to belong to God as his sons and daughters. He says we groan inwardly. And the Greek word for groan that Paul uses here has the sense to narrow or squeeze. And doesn't it feel like that when we're under pressure through our trials and our sufferings, that we're almost in that vice? Outward forces are crushing us, and sometimes it feels like the life is being squeezed out of us. Those are dark times when words fail us and tears flow. And all we can do is utter that primal scream to God, whether it's out in the fields or in the quiet of your room, a godly groan. And maybe in this past year, you found yourself at that dark place. Or maybe you find that place in your heart today because of what you or your loved ones are going through. We are waiting for something. We are aching for something. And that something is the completion and the fulfillment of God's purposes. We are waiting for the kingdom of God to grow to fruition. At this time, we have the first fruit of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we are adopted as his sons and daughters. We have that first installment, but it's a pledge that there is more to come. And another New Testament writing puts it like this in 1 John 3, verse 2. We are beloved children of God now, but what we are to be is not yet apparent. But we do know that when Christ appears, we are to be like him, for we are to see him as he is. And it's that vision, friends, that helps us to keep going, to keep putting that one step in front of the other, hour by hour, day by day. This is our hope. And what a wonderful day that will be when we will be welcomed home by our Heavenly Father as adopted sons and daughters. We have the redemption of our bodies. And many of us will be glad to part exchange our own bodies for that heavenly resurrection, imperishable body. On that great and glorious day, our final sigh will be a deep sigh of relief. Phew, we're home at last. We're home at last. This training ground of life is over, and we are home. We made it. We won through. We finished the race. The battle is over. Our longings are over. And on that day, our only tears will be tears of joy. In the words of the prophet Isaiah, the redeemed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. And gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. What a promise. What an encouragement. And it's encouragement for us today, here and now, as a church, as the whole church of God throughout the world. I want to say and affirm that the church can never breathe its last. The church can never breathe its last breath. Despite how bad things may look, however weak, however shallow our breath, in life and death we belong to the Lord, and he is building his church. So rejoice today in that hope for the church of God, for ourselves. We need not fear the grave. Our dying breath on earth will be followed by our first breath in heaven. So there we've thought about the sighing sons. And we come to our last aspect now as I close. And it's neither the sigh of creation nor the sigh of God's children, but it is the sigh of God himself. Verse 26 speaks of the sighing spirit. And we'll put that verse on screen that says, in the same way, the spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. We have this present help. The Holy Spirit is on our side and at our side, our advocate, our counselor. This verse speaks of that intimate communion that we have with God, knowing that as we pray, we're not talking to the air or talking into space, but talking deep to deep. As the Spirit sighs with us, the Spirit prays with us and for us on our behalf. As one writer put it, prayer is the divine in us, appealing to the divine above us. Prayer is the divine in us, appealing to the divine above us. How good to know that when we struggle for words in prayer, the Holy Spirit has it covered. So don't ever fear that your words in prayer are inadequate, your words immature, or your knowledge imperfect, as I sometimes do. God understands. Keep looking to God. Keep that line of communication open. John Bunyan got it right when he said, "When you pray, rather let your heart be without words than your words be without heart." How true. When you pray, rather let your heart be without words than your words without heart. You know, life's hardships can sometimes leave you speechless. But because of the Holy Spirit, you will never be left prayerless. He will keep on praying in you. Jesus is with you. He understands. So, to conclude, we've been reminded today of the sighing creation, the sighing sons, and the sighing Spirit. Take that with you into this week ahead. Whatever it may hold in health and in sickness, you are God's precious son and daughter. The breath of God is upon you and will never depart. Press on and persevere to the end, to God's glory. Amen.